KNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
What a beautiful day. A beautiful day to live in 2005. It's Wednesday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Another hot one here, Wednesday, July 29th in Auburn, Alabama. You actually get the mostly cloudy, but I promise you, again, for those that have been listening, we're about 85, probably 90% of the way through the moving process. Still not enjoyable to be doing that at all outside. And so I feel every single bit of the heat, the sweat, everything. But very excited to be in the studio, hanging out for a couple of hours, talking some ball here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Christian Griffin. Across from me is my man Trip Upton. You hear him every single day, my man. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. A lot to dive into. More conversational pieces here this afternoon. And aren't you just so happy that we live in 2005, where I don't even think that's a year you remember?
Yeah, happy Wednesday. You know, I love being 2 years old. you know, walking. How about that? That's a new fad. I can't believe people are catching on. It's very nice to be able to live in 2005. And oh wait, Auburn was good in 2005 a little bit. At least they were 2004.
Auburn fans are pretty. This is 21 years ago today. Auburn fans are pretty mad talking Auburn football after the 2004 season. I'd say that Auburn fans are pretty upset with how everything went, but a lot of success. But yeah, it's unfortunate that that's the way that the SEC mindset thinks, is that we just live in 2005 forever.
Yeah, seriously. Maybe we should go back to living in 2013 through 2017, and we'll have to take us a look at some numbers there, because I think someone that's making some noise right now might not like what he has to hear from that.
A lot to dive into here this afternoon. We got one guest here this afternoon. We got Jordan Hill, our guy over at Dogs 24/7 up in Athens, Georgia. He's going to join us on the phone lines at 2:30. We're hitting jersey sponsorship discussions here today. We're talking a weekly one game question that Tripp has for me, where if you could only watch one game throughout each calendar week, what game would that be if it were not the Auburn Tigers? I promise we hit on it Monday. We also hit on it on Tuesday. We will get to the SEC win total projection conversation here again today, because I really do think that's a fascinating topic, because I've made my thoughts clear and talked about it probably too many times, that if the public media did not know any sort of betting lines in terms of wins and losses, instead of Auburn 6.5 wins, I bet it would be more like 7.5. So because of that, what would that look like in the other teams in the SEC? We'll re-hit that and talk about how, man, there's a lot of teams that are not as highly projected as many people are thinking now in the SEC. So we'll get to that a little bit later in hour number two. But again, we start hour number one talking Brett Bielema and the wonderful comments of Big Ten Media Days, because Nick Saban, about a week ago — it's crazy to think that we were in Tampa almost wrapping up our week last week at this time.
That was a month ago.
Would be officially the halfway point of Media Days. But we heard Nick Saban make plenty of comments about the SEC versus the Big Ten. It didn't take long for Greg Sankey to make comments about it on Monday morning. His opening statements of, this is why we're the best conference in America. We talked about the 85,000 average strong that attend every single Saturday game, rather, have high school football on my mind today. Every single Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening in the SEC, 85,000 on average. The SEC is essentially the second most popular sport behind the NFL, and so much working its way in the positive direction for the SEC, and how the SEC is just so much better than the Big Ten. Well, Big Ten Media Days started yesterday morning. And some comments from some coaches on that side of things of how, again, you've heard the jokes that we've made so far. And if you have comments on everything that we're discussing today, phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes and then the back hour of today's program at 334-321-1390. You can always give us a call there. Get your thoughts. Be on the line here this afternoon. The text box always open as well at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And again, those are the jokes that we have highlighted so far today, because some comments from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago saying, you know what, the SEC just wants to live like it's 2005. Interesting. 2005, again, you were walking. I was
barely
just getting ready for kindergarten.
Wow,
makes me feel old, those days. But your thoughts when you saw, again, this was more so yesterday, but now some of these comments continuing to take the SEC world by storm for the Fighting Illini having some big words towards the SEC.
It just doesn't, I don't know, it's a little, I'm not going to say tasteless. I'm not going to say that, because I think what he's saying, the bigger point he's saying is fair. Of the power has shifted in college football up north, whether the SEC wants to admit it or not. The past three champions have hailed from the Big Ten, in Michigan in 2024, Ohio State in 2025, and now Indiana in 2026. Based on the year they won in the championship game, as it gets pushed further and further back because of expanded college football playoff. But I look at this and I say, you're right in that regard. But I got two problems with it. Number one, the messenger, Brett Bielema. Fine ball coach. I actually think he's done a really good job at Illinois. He has gone and competed in the Big Ten. You know, a 10-3 season in 2024 put NFL players like Devin Witherspoon, one of my favorite players in the NFL. He's got another good highlight reel. Speaking of highlight reels from yesterday, he's got a phenomenal one for a defensive player. And he was a really good coach at Wisconsin back in 2006 to 2012. I mean, when you go to three straight Rose Bowls, I mean, that's pretty good. Would you admit that that's pretty good?
I would.
But the problem with it that I have, Christian, and I'm curious your thoughts. He's coached in the SEC. Remember him at Arkansas? He was a world beater then, right?
He was, yeah. So good.
29-34 in the Southeastern Conference. He had a decent three-year run, 2014 to 2016, where he had winning records, but he only had one season with a winning record in the Southeastern Conference. That was 2015. The other ones, 0-8, 2-6. That 5-3 season, 3-5, and 1-7. So, Christian, with a resume like that, an 11-29 record against the SEC, do you think that he deserves to call them stuck in the past?
Considering he is 37-26 for the Fighting Illini, and he is 23-22 in the Big Ten. I think that goes to perfectly bullet point the example that Nick Saban was to give. Because, again, his biggest comments, Nick Saban that was, at SEC Media Days, was that, yes, when you look at the national champion, and I understand that that holds a lot of weight, but I don't think the argument was, yep, the best team still comes from the conference of the SEC, whatever the case may be on that side. But Nick Saban's comments were, from top to bottom, the Southeastern Conference, there is no comparison. When you're looking at a week by week, a schedule by schedule, when you are looking at the top team versus the very bottom team, there is a lot less rope than there is when you look at the Big Ten. And I don't think there's too many complaints on that side of things whatsoever, because, again, when you're looking at a Vanderbilt of the past, you're looking at a Kentucky, you're looking at, an Auburn, who's middle to bottom over the last handful of years, and then you go and look at the other teams in the Big Ten and what their records look like, and the reason that he now has a winning record is because of those teams. It's not like he's out here beating the Ohio States, beating the Oregons, beating the Penn States. Yeah, but he's out here beating the Rutgers. He's out there beating the Syracuse. He's out there beating the Purdues of the world that finish 3-9, 2-10 every year. There's a reason why your record looks one way in one conference and one way in another.
And another thing we have to realize is, what's so funny to me, is you look up who won the national championship in the 2005 season, Christian. Do you know who that is off the top of your head?
Oh, gosh. I do, but for those that don't know, let everybody know.
It was a Big 12 team in the Texas Longhorns playing a Pac-12 team in the USC Trojans. The Vince Young goes for the corner. He's
Holy
got
cow.
It.
Yeah,
Brent Musburger.
It
was, but my problem is with that, Christian. Don't go say, oh, the SEC stuck in 2005 when the SEC wasn't even in the national championship in 2005 at the time. Yes, Texas is in the SEC now. USC's in the Big Ten now.
Which doesn't help his point at all.
Right, exactly. And if we want to go look at 2005, let's go look at the Fighting Illini football program.
Current teams, which I'm sure, again, 2005 was just the example that he gave. But
yeah.
How funny is that, that you fast forward 21 years, oh, the SEC wants to live in 2005 where an SEC team
won the national championship,
won the national
over,
championship
Big Ten.
Over a Big Ten team.
Yeah, exactly. Which, if you go look at that Illinois team from that year, 2-9.
Yeah.
0-8 in the Big Ten. Shout out Ron Zook and Mike Loxley is the offensive coordinator. They went 2-9, only beat Rutgers, shocker, in overtime when Rutgers was still a Big East team, and San Jose State. They then lost to every decent team with a pulse that they played, including getting bludgeoned 40-2 to Ohio State. So wow. I don't think Britt Bielema is the – if it was Kirk Cignetti saying, hey, you know, the SEC stuck in 2009 or 2010 when it was LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia was still pretty good, then I understand a little coming from that guy who's beaten SEC teams. Look what he did in the Rose Bowl against Alabama last year. But don't – be Brent Bielema, because it just sounds like sour grapes because you got run out of Fayetteville, Arkansas after 5 okay years. Congrats, you won the Liberty Bowl. You've really done well in the Southeastern Conference.
And then he's using that to continue his argument of, okay, well, if you want to talk about depth, I beat South Carolina. I beat Tennessee. So,
oh boy.
Take that.
Tennessee with Joey Aguilar at their quarterback? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And again, I understand the argument that both sides are making, and we're kind of bleeding the two a little bit, but it's because of what Mr. Bielema did. Of, is the conference at the top of the Big Ten possibly better record-wise and possibly better based off of paper and based off of the national championships? You can't really argue that. When you're looking at the Ohio States, you're looking at the Oregons, you're looking at Indiana from last year. But, again, Nick Saban's comments were, look top to bottom. Look at the conference as a whole. The SEC doesn't have those, whew, all right, played a really tough one in week 5. Now the Boilermakers come to town in week 6. All right, we're good. Our quarterback's not going to have to throw the ball in the fourth quarter. Our top two running backs, they can take the fourth quarter off because it'll be 57-10, whatever the case may be. I don't think there's a comparison. And we talked with the somebody pretty high up in the college football playoff, and Mr. Rich Clark, who is, again, ahead of a lot in terms of the college football playoff. I've got to talk with him the last 2 SEC media days and got to ask him the question of what a 9-game schedule in the SEC is going to look like. And summarizing, he said, that goes into account because we understand what the SEC as a league looks like, to where 9-3 in one league looks different than 9-3 in another league. I will take that with a lot more weight than a coach who has coached in both and was not successful in the SEC and is now successful. And again, I understand college football is a little bit different with the NIL and the transfer portal and everything like that, that the rest of the world of college football has caught up to at least the middle ground of the SEC. But I will take somebody that understands the modern day of college football and has true understanding, has a true say in what goes on in the postseason, a lot more than somebody who's coached in both and has only been successful in one.
Right. It's, and not even, I wouldn't even say successful in one, because what's his record against the Ohio State Buckeyes at Illinois? Probably over.
Yeah. I mean, 19-7 over the last 2 years. But again, that's a Citrus Bowl and a Music City Bowl. Again, successful, but...
Right, but who have you beaten that has allowed you to thump your chest and say that I, Brent Bielema, know how college football works? Let's look at his season last season.
That's
right?
What I was about to look West,
up. Yeah. Western Illinois. Oh, big in-state matchup right there. The Leathernecks. That's a team. Duke at Duke. You blew out Duke. Congratulations. You blew out the ACC champion, which makes the ACC sound even worse.
I don't know which one that makes sound better. His argument or the fact of, yeah, that Duke won the ACC.
Western Michigan, another phenomenal game. And then you play Indiana, a good team, national champion. It was a top 20 matchup at the time. You lost by 53 points. 53 points on the road in Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, Indiana. Then, congrats. Hey, you'll give them this. They beat USC.
I remember I did have USC winning this football game.
By 2 points in Champaign. Congratulations. And then you get Purdue. You beat them by 16. Okay. Then you get another crack. Ohio State, another playoff caliber team. Can Illinois get over the hump? You lose at home by double digits. You lose by 18 points to Ohio State, number one at the time. You lose to Washington. You beat up on your Rutgers and the Marylands of the world. Then you play Wisconsin in a rivalry game. You lose by 17 points to a Wisconsin team and a fan base that wants to run Luke Fickell out the door. Where's the signature win on that schedule? A USC team that finished 8-4, 7-5? I don't see it. I don't see it at all. And what were your signature wins in the SEC? You never beat Alabama. You had Ole Miss. You beat up on Ole Miss on a lateral play in overtime to Hugh Freeze Ole Miss. Congratulations, Brett. You are a guru of college football.
He is 23-45 against ranked teams.
23-45.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even
including... granted, again, a lot of those are probably with Arkansas. But, again, he got one ranked win last season. And let's go to 24. Do this
24
live on air right now.
He beat Kansas. Ranked team at the time, they, I believe, did not make a bowl game. They beat Nebraska. Ranked team at the time, barely, if not, missed a bowl game. You lost 21-7 to Penn State. Really, really high-scoring game right there. You beat Michigan 21-7, who barely, you know, they made a bowl game. They ended up finishing the year strong. You got blanked by Oregon, basically, 38-9. You lost to Minnesota. And then you beat South Carolina in the bowl game. Congratulations. Again, I'm not seeing anything that moves the needle. That's an easy schedule, if we're being quite honest with you. You only have to play Penn State and Oregon. Like, you get Rutgers, Michigan State, whose head coach had been just fired. You have to play Northwestern, whose head coach had just been fired. Purdue, who fired their head coach. Where's the hard games? Where's the team that comes to town and it makes you, okay, this is the big one.
Where's the game you circle on their calendar of, okay, you have all of these tough games, and then there's one kind of in the middle that doesn't look necessarily as tough on paper, but this could happen. It's Auburn and Mississippi State this year, where a lot of people are going, oh man, Kamario Taylor, really, really good quarterback. Jeff Lebby in year three trying to make that jump up to being bowl relevant again. Auburn then goes on the road after, again, an Arkansas team after the toughest part of their schedule. A lot of people are circling that of, I don't want to be scared, but for some reason, that's right there. If that game is, what, Minnesota at home for Illinois?
Sure, man.
If that is hosting Michigan State, if that is going to Rutgers,
yeesh.
I want to take a break because I want to get back to this, what you're talking about here of let's compare schedules for a little bit. Everybody's done this of, okay, now that there's the even playing field, right? There's no longer the, well, we don't have cupcake games like the SEC does because we play 9 conference games instead of 8. I mean, half the freaking SEC non-conference. Look at Texas and Ohio State. Oklahoma and Michigan, those are non-conference games. Those are teams that could meet in the college football playoff semifinals and people wouldn't be overly shocked. But sorry that we don't have the penitentiary of the blind and halfway one-legged footballers. Again, we'll dive more into this here when we come back. Also, continue the conversation, possibly with Jordan Hill, get his thoughts with the Georgia Bulldogs, what they're doing over in Athens in terms of scheduling, in terms of recruiting, everything on that side of things. We're just off and running here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. In 1920, baseball changed forever. Before then, the game was dominated by pitching and low scores. Then came Babe Ruth. The slugger swung for the fences. Home runs soared into the stands. The crowds filled ballparks to watch the Sultan of SWAT. Ruth transformed baseball into America's national pastime and helped make sports central to American culture. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate you for being here with us and spending some time here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And before we continue this conversation of living in 2005, according to a couple of folks in the Big Ten, comparing them to the SEC, we do want to remind you that Neville Arena is the place to be on August 22nd and August 23rd for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to On to victory.com/card show. Card show is all one word, by the way, to find out more about the two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, and collectibles. Plus, some vendors will even have Pokemon cards as well. Neville Arena will play host to all of the above. Plus, there will be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis and the Kick Six, the Auburn baseball legend Tim Hudson, Braves legend Dale Murphy, and Andrew Jones, who, again, congratulations to Mr. Andrew Jones, as well as Hawks legend Dominique Wilkins. Auburn will have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that will compete this season for Auburn University. On to Victory is also offering VIP packages and pricing to further enhance the experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports? August 22nd, August 23rd is where you need to be inside Neville Arena. Aubie is also planning on being there both days. So, I mean, if that in itself is worth the price of any sort of admission, there will also be a kids zone with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, and a schedule of the events, and to inquire more about the VIP packaging, you can head to ontovictory.com/card show. Again, card show, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory, legendary athletes along with Auburn student athletes here today. Again, ontovictory.com/card show. Really looking forward to a really, really cool event that, again, Auburn continuing to get more and more, I don't want to say involvement with the city, but just, again, the opportunities of this that you're continuing to see even more. Really, really cool. Again, Neville Arena with Ella Langley, again, Parker McCollum not long ago, Riley Green, and again, everything that's continuing to work with Zach Bryan and Jordan-Hare Stadium. So much continues to go on the road to 26 as well. So really, really cool to see that Auburn continues to get even more events like this. And again, On to Victory being a big-time part of everything that goes on, bringing more people, more unique people all alike to come to some common ground. So really, really cool on that side of things. But who's not standing on common ground is the SEC and the Big Ten. Mm. And we continue during the break. We always do our best work over the break because it's like, man, I'm going to keep looking into this. And, I mean, you look at the schedule for Illinois this season. Again, this is all because of the comments that were made by the Illini head coach about the SEC wanting to live like it's 2005 when Nick Saban said that top to bottom, the SEC is better than the Big Ten. The fact that that made little brother hurt that bad is,
yeah,
feels like a pretty factual statement right now. Again, when you think about Vanderbilt and you think about not the Vanderbilt, like a team of the past, you think about, again, even a Mississippi State or an Arkansas of last year. You're telling me Talen Green wouldn't go and tear it up against Purdue, against Rutgers, against Michigan State? Like,
right. And I want you to imagine I would say close your eyes, but obviously if you're driving, don't do that. It's a Saturday afternoon. You're watching college football, and the upset alert pops up on the bottom of your screen, and that it's a close game. Which of these sound more realistic to you? Arkansas leads Georgia by 7 points late in the third quarter. Or Purdue leads Indiana by 7 late in the third quarter. That Rutgers leads Ohio State by 7 at the end of the third quarter. It's the SEC one. The top to bottom, even the worst teams in the SEC still play quality competition both in of and out of conference, and it's a closer crab shoot. We see so many more upsets in the SEC than the Big Ten. I think that that's just a difference of the depth of the conference.
Again, I refuse to believe the comparison of, man, you stack these teams up. You almost do an SEC-ACC basketball challenge, right? Of the, okay, let's, they don't directly do this, but they tend to do something similar of, okay, let's line these teams up and let's pair them with their counterpart, right? That's why you have Duke going to Florida, which congratulations, Duke going to play a road game in the non-con. But Duke playing Florida, that makes a lot of sense because, okay, you're looking at where these teams are at right now. It's about top of the top. Okay, you go look at the football side of things. If Indiana there sits at the top, what, you putting them with Georgia? Probably. Georgia or Texas. You'd have Oregon, Texas. You'd have Ohio State. And, I mean, what, LSU, Oklahoma, again, just from what the expectations are.
The top of the top is good at the Big Ten. No one's denying that. But
then you sit there and you look at the bottom of, okay, we projected Mississippi State and Arkansas to be towards the bottom of the SEC. I have them finishing in the top 8 of the Big Ten.
I mean, if you're going to tell me, hey, Maryland or Mississippi State, I'm taking Mississippi State.
I don't think there's too much of an argument. Let's make our way up to Athens, Georgia. See what this guy has to think. Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7. He joins us when we come back.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
We are 30 minutes in here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, and we hit 2:30, which means we head up I-85 right up to Athens, Georgia, and we bring in one of the best experts with the Georgia Bulldogs, Mr. Jordan Hill. Jordan, hope you're doing well this afternoon. Hope Media Days treated you well last week as well.
Definitely. Appreciate you guys having me back on, and yeah, I always say that SEC Media Days is kind of like a taste of football, but you know, we got to wait another month, but that's when you know the season's almost here. So super excited that we've gone through it, gotten back from Tampa, and continuing to count down to the start of the season.
Oh, 100%. You never mind the appetizer, but it just makes you want the full meal even more. Jordan, speaking of Media Days, Britt Bielema is making a lot of noise right now from Chicago with Big Ten Media Days, talking about why the SEC might be stuck back in 2005. You know, were you able to hear those comments, and what were your reactions to those?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. On one side, I do believe in to the victor go the spoils. You know, the Big Ten has had a really impressive run the last few years. I think it's worth noting Brett Bielema was not involved in any of those championships. And, I mean, I think the thing to look at with Brett Bielema specifically, he left a really good Wisconsin team to take over and be part of the SEC. And he goes to Arkansas and had middling success. So, really, on the whole, I don't put a ton of stock into it. It to me, screams Media Days conversation, Media Days storyline. I can understand why Bielema wants to pump up the Big Ten because that's where he is. And, you know, heck, his most successful years were in Wisconsin, and he played at Iowa before that. But really, storylines like these, to get me ready for actual football. Can't wait to put this in the rear view and stop talking about what coaches are saying and have actual games to break down and discuss.
No, I cannot disagree with you there, as we have Jordan Hill of Dogs247 joining us. And speaking of media days and coaches saying things, Kirby Smart had his media days availability last week. We were able to sit in on it and be able to listen to what he had to say to the media. What were your thoughts on the players that were selected and what Coach Smart had to say about the SEC breaking away from the NCAA and all the things that are going to be going on in Athens this fall?
I mean, I'll start with Kirby Smart, and I thought that just listening to him, there was kind of a quiet confidence. I think you saw that when he was in the main room and, you know, someone asked him about not really having a lot to go on with the wide receivers, and Kirby just kind of, you could tell he locked in, was like, well, I'll let him know that, but, you know, you're not confident in him. I think that he understands what he's got to work with, and I think that he knows this is a championship-caliber team, and I thought that he brought that point across without really going overboard or really coming out and saying it, because that's just not really Kirby's style. As far as the players, I thought they all handled it well. It was Gunnar Stockton, Drew Bobo, Raylan Wilson. Really the most interesting to me, and the folks listening who might remember him when he was at Auburn High School, Drew Bobo, gave us some updates on his health. He's doing really good. He had a season-ending foot injury against Georgia Tech last November. Didn't practice at all during spring practice, but did wind up getting back to where he was running by the time that Georgia had their spring game. So on the whole, I thought the players all did good. You know, really, Raylan Wilson may be the most talkative of those three. Gunnar Stockton's not the most talkative person, but when you're the quarterback, that means you're going to have all the cameras around you. But they all did good. And again, to kind of drive the point home with Kirby, I think that, you know, without coming out and saying it, I think he really feels good about this group that they have, and knowing that getting back to and opening fall camp is just right around the corner.
Jordan Hill of Dogs247 here with us on the phone lines. And Jordan, you mentioned the comments that the reporter had about the question marks in the wide receiver room, and Kirby obviously turning that into the motivational piece of, yeah, well, I'll let them know that you don't have faith, and I'm just really proud of, you know, guys like you that can motivate them. Is there anybody better in college football to find motivation, whether that's from a question or whether that's just from the media doubters, than Kirby Smart? And if not, I mean, what is the overall message, if you were to give one right now, that you feel like Kirby is using to motivate his team in 26?
Well, the only person I can think of is the guy that he spent quite a few years with in Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban. I think he learned it from the best. And no, I mean, I think they go into this year, I asked Kirby before he went to the main room, but they always like having a motto, a mantra, and they haven't had it every year. And Kirby kind of made the point that you kind of don't want to force it. You know, you want it to be authentic when you find something you think clicks. But it was interesting to hear him talk. They've spent a lot of the offseason studying the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it's not so much like watching film or anything like that, but just diving into the statistics. And, you know, we talked to Raylan Wilson, and he said, you know, the thing that stood out to me when we were doing this was how the Thunder, this would have been two seasons ago now when they wound up winning the championship, they led that their loose ball recovery was like out of this world good. And Raylan talked about, hey, that's effort. You know, that's just going out there. That's not skill. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, being coached into a situation. That's going out and fighting for the ball and trying to keep possession for your team. So I thought that was really interesting. What Kirby said was the message was try to make the uncommon common. And I think that was really smart, I think, in using metaphors and using examples from other sports, especially basketball. We know how popular the NBA is, and especially 17, 18-year-old kids. I think that's a message that can resonate. Hey, look at how this team, they finally broke through. They won a championship. Did not come easy. Now, you know, the crossover from basketball to football, it's not totally, you know, not everything crosses over. But like Raylan was pointing out, you know, the effort plays, the things that you're not coached to do, you just instinctively do. I mean, that could wind up being the difference in Georgia coming up short in the playoff again, or maybe winning it all.
Joram was able to look at some of your work again on Dogs 24/7, which we'll be able to get you to plug here in just a few moments. But it was talking about the 12 Bulldogs that made the preseason all-SEC teams at SEC Media Days. I believe there are four of them on the first team, and again, and the second team into the third team as well. Who are some of the big names that, again, I know that there's a lot on the defensive side of the football that that Auburn fans have known and the SEC has known for quite some time, but on one specific side of the football, any names that were on this list that you think may not have gotten the recognition that they either A, deserve, or it's one of those household names that will work its way once November and December hits?
I thought on the whole the voters did a pretty good job as far as recognizing those guys. And one I was pleasantly surprised was Elijah Griffin being on the second team. I think that Elijah's got a chance to not only be an All-SEC defensive lineman this year, but also, you know, maybe even an All-American. He really turned it on toward the end of his freshman year. I'm expecting big things from him. You know, I think Raylan Wilson wound up on the second team. I don't really envy the voters there because, you know, the linebackers you're picking from in this conference. I went back and forth between he and Whit Weeks at LSU. Mm-hmm. But I think Raylan's going to have a big season. And I'll say, too, I thought it was a very heads-up decision from the voters. Got Khalil Barnes on the third team. This is the guy. I think he's going to be Georgia's starting nickelback this year. He's a guy that's coming over from Clemson. Actually played high school football just up the road at North Oconee. He's coming back, had a really good spring. I expect some big things from him in the fall during fall camp. And for him to be a starter once we're talking about the first game on September 5th.
We're talking to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. And Jordan, some Georgia news that broke last week since we've been able to talk to you is what's going on with Dante Dowdle, sidelined indefinitely after an ATV accident, I believe it was. What can you tell me about that situation and what the running back room is going to need to adjust because of this?
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation. He's had a couple of different hospital stays. He is back in the state of Georgia now. I believe the accident happened in Mississippi, which is where he's from. And you know, it looks like it's going to be a while before we see Dante Dowdle in a uniform again. And that leads to a pretty big question with this run game. Now, I kind of saw Dante as that third back, a guy that was still going to play a good bit, but still probably in terms of workload behind Nate Frazier and behind Chauncey Bowen. So that means other guys got to step up. I'm looking at Dwight Phillips Jr., a speedster, maybe the fastest guy on the team. His dad was an Olympic sprinter in the 2000s, and he's shown his speed before, but he's got to be a little bit more physical, and he's got to be able to withstand hits, which is a lot easier said than done. Playing in the SEC, I look at Bo Walker, who's coming into his sophomore year. Didn't play a ton last year, but had a really strong game. I think he scored twice against Charlotte in November. And they've got a freshman, Jay Lamar, who's coming in from Colquitt County, that they're really excited about, that I think down the road they could wind up playing a big role. So losing Dante is pretty big. I mean, I was very impressed with his spring. He had a great spring game, but what he was able to do. But, you know, they're going to need guys to step up. They know that they can count on Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens kind of being that thunder and lightning 1-2. But it's going to take more backs than that to get through this season, especially, you know, we got to keep in mind this is the first 9-game SEC schedule. Mm. These backs are going to get beat up. Some of those top two guys will probably miss some time. They need guys like Dwight Phillips Jr., Bo Walker to rise to the occasion because they got to continue to run the football each and every Saturday.
Jordan, instead of talking about what's happened already, let's take a look. Fall camp coming up very, very quickly for the Georgia Bulldogs as, you know, the finishing touches on this offseason happen in Athens. What are some position battles that we're going to be looking forward to and that Georgia fans need to pay attention to going into fall camp?
I'd point to right tackle. That was a battle that we saw throughout the spring. Juan Gaston got the lead, I would say, going into fall camp. He is a sophomore, former five-star that played more on the offensive guard side last year as a freshman, but they're really excited about him. I think he's got the lead. But Jod Jackson, who's a junior, who I always like bringing up this factoid, he was really concentrating on basketball for most of his high school career, was playing overtime elite and was playing with Bronny James and then kind of late in the go and decided, I'm going to give football a try. And I think he's like 6'10". I mean, he makes even some of those other big linemen look small. So that's really going to be a battle to watch. at right tackle. And then strong safety going back into the secondary. This is one that I think, and you know, more than likely, I would say that right tackle battle could be decided during fall camp. Strong safety, this might go into the season. This might go deep into the season. You've got Rayshon Dinkins, who emerged as a starter at nickelback late last year. You got Jamarlee Riddle, a guy they were very excited to get out of the transfer portal from East Carolina. You've also got Khalil Barnes, who I think will start at star, but he's also capable. He played safety at Clemson. So those are the two biggest battles, I would say. You'll see a lot of receivers that will rotate in and guys fighting for more playing time there. But the two biggest battles I see going into fall camp going to be right tackle and the strong safety spot.
And Jordan, to get the week started, got some news on the basketball side of things. Everybody knew their opponents, but now everybody knows when those are going to be played. Georgia gets to make the return trip to Neville Arena, which is a place that they did not go to last year for what, the first time in what feels like forever. And just looking at it real quickly, it feels like the month of February, especially the back half, with at A&M, Kentucky, at Florida, at Oklahoma, feels like a very, very tough stretch. Talk to me about the return trip to Auburn, and then anything else that stands out on your mind for Mike White and the Bulldogs on the hardwood this year?
Yeah, even the first couple weeks of SEC play, they open at Ole Miss, and Ole Miss and Georgia have had some really entertaining conference games the last few years. Ole Miss won in Athens last year, and that was a game where Georgia just could not get a stop, and I think it kind of adds to the misery for Mike White. He played at Ole Miss, so I think these battles, they probably wear on him even more, but yeah, that second weekend playing at Auburn, really just fascinating to see how Georgia handles it. I think this is a Georgia team. I don't think it's going to be quite as good as last year, but I think given the strength of the SEC, given the tournament expanding, you know, it's a team that still could wind up going into March and being able to try to make a run again. So really interested to see how this season goes. Some of these road games, man, it's not for the faint of heart for Bulldogs fans, but I think that the second weekend seeing Georgia and Auburn, I really think both fan bases could learn quite a bit about both those teams by the time that game's done.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 taking some time to join us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. And Jordan, final question for you. The most important one of arguably the entire conversation. I saw that a few moments ago, the MLB retweeted a post from the Detroit Tigers where the Tarik Skubal got a standing ovation. What needs to happen for the Atlanta Braves in the trade deadline for this team to try and make a big-time run?
Yeah, I'd be perfectly fine with Alex Anthopoulos moving some of these prospects. I think it's time to go all in and make a move. And I'll say this, too. I saw this being rumored, obviously, with the Tigers there. Someone mentioned Casey Mize. Ooh. I wouldn't mind seeing the former Auburn pitcher. I wouldn't mind seeing the Braves make a deal there. So, really hoping Anthopoulos, I think it might have been last year he kind of sat on his hands around the trade deadline. I hope he's a little bit more aggressive now. Looking at the Braves, they need more pitching. And I think, you know, you love having those homegrown guys in the minor leagues. But sometimes you got to deal with a couple of them. Bolster that pitching staff and see if you can continue to set the pace in the East.
Yeah, unfortunately, Braves just fall 3-2 to New York in game one, but they'll play game two of the doubleheader here coming up in a couple of hours. Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7, again, taking some time to join us here this afternoon. My friend, plug everything that you got. Where can everybody go to keep up with all of your coverage in and throughout all of college football season?
Definitely, dogs247.com. I'm on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at dogs247. And yeah, the countdown's on, starting to roll out some fall camp preview content, so folks can check that out on Dogs 24/7. And going to continue to shout out my buddies over there at Auburn 24/7. You know, they kind of had a rebrand there, but yeah, Super excited to follow what Jason Caldwell, Nathan King, Christian Clemente have going on there. So if you're not a Georgia fan listening to this, hey, you'll make my day too if you go check out their content. They knock it out of the park.
Awesome, my man. Well, we appreciate you again for everything that you do for us, continuing to give us all of our knowledge with the Georgia Bulldogs. We look forward to continuing this throughout college football season and talking to you again here next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7. Again, appreciate all that he does. A longtime guest here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. You feel like he's, again, a very valuable guest that we, again, want to continue to prioritize. Also, some other things that we have in the works that we'll try and get publicized here over the next few weeks as well, as we are continuing to work our way towards the turn of college football season. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 taking some time to join us here, as he does just about every single Wednesday at 2:30, giving us our entire insights for all things Georgia athletics. And again, we take a lot of value in not only knowing what goes on in Auburn, Alabama, but then also what goes on in the surrounding states, the rivals as well. And so, again, appreciate him for continuing to be a big part of this program, a big part of this show. In hour number two, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the win totals in the SEC, as well as if you could only watch one game per week, if it was not the Auburn Tigers, what that would be. And I've purposely not looked at the calendar, so it will be a lot more of a ooh, when sitting there looking at some of the big time. We've done the total weeks, and we know that week two is a pretty solid week. We know that week eight, week 11, those are all really solid weeks. But interested to see what I'll pick for every single week of the college football season. But while we have a minute or two before the music kicks us out of here, we knew it was only a matter of time, and it's been proposed. It's been kind of accepted, but you hadn't heard too much about it. However, jersey sponsorships, they're here, and you don't really see them going anywhere. Ohio State, Notre Dame, both announced patches with SoFi, and I know that a couple others have done some with like banks already, and so you're going to see those all over college football jerseys now, whether you like it or not. There are reports that Ohio State's and Notre Dame's with SoFi are upwards of $18 to $20 million annually, and so...
Doesn't Arkansas have like the Tyson Foods patch?
I know they have it on their field.
I think they have it on their jersey now too. Unless I'm looking at the meanest like fake like thing everywhere, but I'm pretty sure that they have it on there. Oh yeah, it's on the official Arkansas website.
Well, there we go.
So it's in the SEC. It's only a matter of time.
So is that Yellowwood? Is that Apple? Is that?
I think Alabama thinks they're going to get Mercedes-Benz. Apparently. Good for them, I guess. So you'd think Athens would want that with Georgia, but again, what do I know?
Georgia's going to get Delta and Ford or whatever the case may be. Huh.
That joke went right over your head, didn't it?
It 100% did.
Why would Georgia get in a car dealership? Just go to break.
Be a little faster and more dainty. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. hour number one in the books. We come back. We talk. If you could only watch one college football game each calendar week, what would it be if it was not the Auburn Tigers to start hour number two?
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
If you could only watch one college football game each week and it was not the Auburn Tigers, which game would it be?
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on ESPN 106.7. Here's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin, having a good time in the studio as we get underway in hour number two here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. It was a very, very fun hour number one. We got to speak with our guy Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7. It had been a couple of weeks since we were able to talk with him. Weren't able to catch him on SEC Media Days down in Tampa, so excited to be able to get some updates on that in terms of everything regarding Georgia and the recruiting side of things, on the basketball side of things, as well as just everything that Kirby Smart said or didn't say and had to back up, because again, I don't think there is anybody better, and he said it perfectly, other than the person that he coached under for quite some time, that is able to make motivational quotes and motivational messages from what felt like pretty simple questions that the media asked. I know that it wasn't, was it their national championship year, the second time that he was like, yeah, everybody expects us to go 7-5. And it was like, I don't think there's a single person that thinks you're going 7-5. But he got the team to buy in, and it obviously worked out for the Bulldogs. And so what was the main quote this year? We obviously talked a lot about the question that was asked to him about the wide receiver room and how shout out Steve or whoever the guy was that asked that question that got Kirby fired up in front of the podium. So got to speak about that with Jordan Hill, again, of Dogs 24/7. He joined us in hour number one. We talked a little bit of the jersey sponsorships that are working their way through the Big Ten. The SEC has a couple of them as well as a couple of coaches in Big Ten Media Days saying that the SEC is stuck in 2005. And the irony of that, not only because of the national championship and what that looks like in today's college football of an SEC team beating a Big Ten team in the national championship, but also how it was a quote that was made by one guy supporting the SEC, another guy supporting the Big Ten, and how the comment just felt as if you were trying to defend something that wasn't being pointed at. And so all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out over at our podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we're going to look over the SEC win total projections, see kind of what each team's status is in that as how it relates to the Auburn Tigers. We're also going to look and see if you could only watch one game that wasn't the Auburn Tigers, you could only watch one, which would you do? We'll go through that, kind of give our answers for that. But if you want to be a part of the conversation, phone lines are wide open. 334-321-1390. Give us a call or shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1685. Text us what you games that you would watch. If you agree, if you disagree, or whatever you want to send in there, it will be in there. But another big thing coming up really, really soon is the Neville Arena. It's the place to be August 22nd and 23rd for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to onthevictory.com/card show to find out more about the two-day event featuring over more than 150 vendor tables and a huge list of sports cards, memorabilia, collectibles. Plus, they're going to have some Pokemon cards. I don't know about you. I used to be a big Pokemon card fan, big Pokemon game fan as a kid. So that fires me up. They're going to play host to all of that. Plus, there will be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, Dominique Wilkins, as well as Auburn's own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that will compete this season for the Auburn Tiger. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance the experience. Are you a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports? Then on August 22nd and 23rd will be the day for you, a two-day fan experience like no other. And plus, Obby is planning on being there. Glad that he could fit us into his busy schedule. Always love to see Obby there. He's going to be there both days, and there's going to be a kid zone with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show, all one word on that, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory legendary athletes along with Auburn student athletes today. That's ontovictory.com/card show.
And before we dive into a lot of the content, because Tripp reminded me that this segment that he came up with that he wants to direct is going to remind me why I love college football, and I'm very, very excited for that. I also do love the Braves. I also do love the MLB, and just news on that side of things. We made the, not necessarily the joke, but again, Tarik Skubal for the Tigers got pulled with in the home half of the seventh. He had gone 6 2/3 of three-run ball, had 6 strikeouts, picked up his 1,000th strikeout here today. They were up 7-3. The Orioles just took a lead, 8-7 in the top half of the 11th. And so what a fantastic day to get a no decision for the Tigers. Also, again, the Braves lose 3-2, but the Marlins erase a 6-0 deficit to beat the Phillies. So
good for them.
Braves don't drop anything, at least in game one of the doubleheader. Game two coming up here in a couple of hours. But again, news on that side of things, kind of cool. Toronto taking on Washington right now. They're up 5-2, so do with that what you will. But very excited to be reminded of the calendar and how much we are going to simply enjoy staring at the TV again this year. Because, again, this is something that you came up with, and if the answer could not be the Auburn Tigers, if it was one game a week that each of us were really looking forward to watching each week. I'm very, very excited. I got to pull up the calendar here again because
I'm very excited to
dive through this.
Yeah, me too. And I'm also going to give myself the added restriction because I'm going to say no Georgia Tech either. I think because that would have been my answer.
That wouldn't have been your answer though. No, not at all.
Kidding. But yeah, yes, I want to watch ACC football. Yes, I am.
There you go.
Yeah, but we're going to be just fine.
We are, I believe, if I'm not mistaken,
we're a month away.
Yes.
We are
July
away.
29th to August 29th.
Yeah.
We are 30 days away, or I guess. We are 1 month away.
Yes.
From the start of college football season. I believe that this weekend is the last weekend without any football.
Yes. I think you said that with preseason. If and when you count preseason football, yes.
There is at least football that can be on the TV if you so choose to watch it.
Sure.
Man, I'm excited.
And that starts out with week zero, August 29th. Smaller slate, but I think that there's...
Are you a fan of week zero? Sorry to cut you off. Or does week zero need to be week one?
Oh, good question. I understand it for the points of like your Ireland game or the Brazil game that was supposed to happen this week. But I also just... It makes me happy that we have college football back. It makes me watch some teams I normally wouldn't watch because 9 times out of 10... my team is not playing week zero, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like it's really here yet. That Thursday night when some of the big teams kick off, that's when I feel like college football is truly back. This is just a preview because usually it'll be one Power Five game and then like either a cupcake game or Group of Five games.
These games aren't terrible, and there's a couple conference games that are being played this week.
Actually, I believe NC State Virginia is in out of conference.
Are they calling
game.
It a non-conference?
I don't know. I think so. I believe that is correct.
Weren't there teams that did that last year?
Yeah, it was the ACC that did it. It was all the North Carolina schools that don't get scheduled to play each other every year anymore. So this is their solution to do that. But yeah, NC State Virginia, a big one that was supposed to be in Brazil, and they had to move the game back to Charlottesville, Virginia.
The return trip from last year.
Correct. Is that, again, so weird. I don't like it. You also have the Aer Lingus Classic with North Carolina v. TCU. That'll be a big one. But my game, give me Jacksonville State going to the Fargo Dome. North Dakota State's first game as an FBS program. They take on a Jacksonville State team that is looking to... They had a really good season last year, were a contender in the CUSA. They're trying to get back there this year. So I'm going to go... Without Cam Cook, that'll be interesting to see if they can do that. But I'm going to go that game for my Week Zero must-watch game.
I'm trying to pull up. Is Danny Scudero... Is he still with San Jose State?
The quarterback?
The wide receiver.
I do not know. I know that they had Nick Marsh there. Danny Scudero, I believe he is still there.
Nick Marsh before Michigan State, was it San Jose State?
I believe. Oh, they had someone that was like a Biletnikoff finalist, did they not?
That was Scudero, yeah. 88 grabs, almost 1,300 receiving yards, 10 touchdowns, averaged 15.5 a pop.
Yeah,
if he's I'm looking at it right now, I don't believe he transferred. If so,
yeah,
he is so fun to watch. Not saying that I can pick San Jose State at Southern Cal as my game, but that is a fantastic one in Memorial Coliseum, so it'll be half full. But North Carolina TCU, I feel like that's just the that's the start. That's the game that you prioritize watching, right? I mean, these teams are going to be very interesting to see, especially with the North Carolina drama that's going on right now in the athletic department. TCU, Sonny Dykes not having Josh Hoover. It's going to be very interesting to see. But again, that's the Dublin Ireland game. That's what kicks everything off right now. TCU right around a touchdown favorite. And so I feel like that's the one that I, by proxy, I have to choose.
That's fair.
But Memphis UNLV is a solid one on there as well. That's the night game. Get to watch Jackson Arnold and Dan Mullen's offense.
Yeah. Who will be the guy for North Carolina TCU that we're going to crown the Heisman after one drive?
Ooh.
Like, is it going to be...
I remember that. Gio Lopez just marched down the field, and so many people were like, Belichick did
it. Well, they do it every year. Remember when...
That eight-play scripted drive. It doesn't get better than that.
Was it Adrian Martinez or Casey Thompson at Nebraska? Whoever was the Nebraska quarterback at the time. And they had one drive, and I was like, yeah, this kid's winning the Heisman. And then they lost the game. Like, that was... perfect.
Oh man, no, that will be
that'll be your week.
Yeah, I mean that's got to be my week zero game.
That's fair.
Has TCU named their starter?
I don't know off the top of my head if they've named their starter, but
the projected starter is Jaden Craig. Okay, he was at Harvard before transferring to TCU.
Good
I do remember
him.
Hearing his name. Yeah, threw for over 50 touchdowns in his career, only 14 picks.
It'll be him.
6,000 passing yards in a Sonny Dykes offense. Could actually be pretty solid. But,
pretty good.
But again, Danny Scudero for San Jose State.
That's a good one. So,
oh, no. Let's say, hold on.
What are we doing here? We going to week one? We staying at week zero?
I'm trying to pull this up. Make sure that I'm not losing my mind because... Continue. I'll go back. I'll find this.
Okay. We're jumping to week one right here.
Yes.
And so... Again, this is a loaded slate. I mean, scrolling through on Thursday, you have Georgia Tech, Colorado. That's going to be a fire game. You have the premier out-of-conference matchup at UAB at Illinois as well. Tickets are as low as $7. And then you also, on Friday night, Miami, Stanford. That could be an interesting one there. And then Saturday, we're back. We are back right there looking at this schedule. Auburn-Baylor, obviously, but you can't pick Auburn-Baylor. What are you going to watch? Boston College-Cincinnati, but I think I'm going to have to go Clemson-LSU. Like, I know that's the ABC night game, but I think it's going to be fantastic. I think you got it.
Update, Danny Scudero's at Colorado.
Oh.
I'm telling you, dude, he's so fun to watch. 5'9", 170. But there's something about the white boy slot receivers. You got to have one on your team.
Always.
And
Ladd McConkey.
That is your guy right there. That is your Will Hastings type of guy right there. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm going back. Week one.
Week one.
Week one officially. Week two of the college football season.
I said Clemson LSU. So many question marks about both those teams. What does Sam Leavitt look like in this LSU offense? What is Clemson? Can they get back to what they're supposed to be? The defense should be there, but do they have the talent around him? I don't know. I think that's going to be an interesting game to watch. I think that's my game. Sneaky, sneaky game, Ole Miss-Louisville. I think the winner of that game could be a contender for the college football playoff.
I feel like it would make you very happy if I said Colorado and Georgia Tech because that would perfectly transition. But their return trip, Georgia Tech, a touchdown favorite over the Buffs back at Bobby Dodd Stadium. That's the Thursday night game to kick everything off on ESPN. Oh, gosh, there are some good ones here. Miami-Stanford could be interesting just because it's a cross-country. Are they playing that as a
non-con game as well? I think that's an ACC game. The ACC.
So the ACC just decided, which again, I understand because it's like the awkward number of teams. Some teams play
eight,
some play nine. But
yes, I believe.
So Miami-Stanford, week one, their first game, Miami has to fly across the country to go play an 8 o'clock ESPN game.
Like it's a Stanford with a new head coach.
No way that goes wrong.
Oh, imagine. Mario Cristobal.
Right?
Look, you know how I feel about Mario Cristobal. I think he is a fraud. This would be the Mario Cristobal hate watch game. Ugh. Don't tempt me.
There's some good ones. Texas State and Texas. Brad Jackson at Texas State.
Sure.
Could he make noise in DKR?
JG Kine, Kenny? I don't know how to say the head coach there. Phenomenal head coach.
He's a really, really good head coach. Going to Texas, going to DKR. Texas a 31-point favorite, so I don't think I can officially pick that. But
right.
I do think that Texas State can make some noise this year.
UNLV Hawaii. That's a sneaky one out of the Mountain West.
Boise State, Oregon.
Washington, the Apple Cup, Washington State, Washington at 3 o'clock week one. Gross.
We've hit 318 and we're still
in week one. I'm going to say SMU at Florida State, no. Wisconsin,
okay, well, give me Clemson LSU.
Okay, we'll both take that then. That's fine.
Oh, did you? Oh, good.
No, we can have the same one.
I'm trying to find another one. I thought you went elsewhere. I don't know why you would have. UCLA and Cal.
Sure.
Why not?
Sure, why not?
Two really fun last names for the announcers to have to say.
Iamalava and JKL. Yes. That's a fire one.
No, you can't say Nico and you can't say JK. You have to say the full names. By the time the ball is already in the receiver's hands, or depending on if you're a fan, in the defender's hands, they're still saying their last name. Huh. But no, I'll go Clemson LSU as well.
That's it. I think that's the right answer. Week two. Looking through this slate right now, I think Georgia Tech Tennessee is a good one, but I'm not going to pick Georgia Tech. Because I think that's a little bias. Ooh, if North Texas still had the core that they had last season, UNLV North Texas, another fire game. Kind of a Duke Illinois, ironically enough, might not be that bad.
I forgot how, again, we've talked about this, how week two is usually the cupcake of all cupcake games. Kind of that mixed in with the second to last week of the season, at least in terms of the SEC, but we don't do that anymore.
All right, I got my answer.
Where are you going?
I'm going Cy-Hawk. Iowa, Iowa State. Kirk Ferentz somehow is still the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, despite them not knowing what the forward pass is. Meanwhile, Iowa State, new head coach this season in the Cyclones, going to try and go into Kinnick Stadium and pull out a big win without Matt Campbell for the first time in legitimately a decade and a half.
There are so many good games. We got to get to break, but gosh, there are so many. You have Missouri, Kansas on that's the Friday game on Fox. You have Oklahoma, Michigan, which is probably going to be my answer. But you have Oregon going on the road to a new Oklahoma State team, trying to make their noise, trying to make a little bit of a statement. You have South Florida. No, I'm just kidding.
South Florida Army.
South Florida media, get out of your DMs.
Get
out of my DMs, bro. Alabama, Kentucky. Mississippi State, Minnesota.
Arkansas, Utah.
I wish that Arizona State had more hype with them right now. Again, they've lost so much, but Dilly Dilly going and their return trip to Texas A&M could be fun. But
I think this is the first game of the series. You're thinking the Mississippi State.
I was thinking
game
Mississippi
last
State. That's you're right. Good call. Good
yes.
call. But
Mississippi State plays Minnesota.
They do. Who?
Minnesota.
Ah, yes. The Fighting Perry Thompsons
of
Minnesota. But no, I feel like the answer. Again, just has to be that, and Ohio State, Texas in there as well. I'll go 1A and 1B just because of how good those two games are, and then the fact that you get to cap it off at night with Arkansas and Utah. Or, if you really, really want to cap it off, New Mexico State and Hawaii at 11 o'clock. So.
Yes. Oh, yeah. At legitimately midnight.
That's a fantastic.
That's a good one. I know
the Rainbow Warriors with oh, gosh.
Is it Timmy Chang as head coach?
Yes, but Micah Alejado,
yes.
The southpaw. Shout out to the lefty. Threw for over 3,000 last year.
3,106.
Look at that.
Look at that.
College football nerd, especially when I get home after Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We'll come back. We got to rapid fire some of these before we dive into some of the win-loss projections, the over-unders for other teams in the SEC based off of what we've seen from Auburn and how we think that would have risen a game. Have any other teams done the same, or have they possibly dropped? We'll talk about that as we're underway here in hour number two on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And kind of another segment that didn't go necessarily how it was intended. We thought it was going to be like, this will be so fun to re-dive through everything, which it very much is. But we realized when you're scrolling through the calendar year of college football and you're able to click on week two, week three, week four, and you just start scrolling, you realize how many good games there are, especially in certain weeks. Again, week two, the fact that you picked Iowa and Iowa State, and I was like, yeah, I'll go Texas, Ohio State, and you were like, oh, I hadn't seen that one yet. Or I'll go Michigan, Oklahoma, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. Like, so many.
I'll stand with my Cyhawk. Sure, I love Cyhawk, but, sure, like,
but
still.
So many good really games, good man. Games.
I was told the 12-team playoff was not going to make any of these games matter anyway, so I'm still going to have fun.
It still might not, but.
It still might not, but, like, let me have fun.
Let me enjoy.
Let guys have fun.
Let guys be dudes or girls be ladies. Got some college football lovers there. Yeah. Week three. Very similar to what I asked you about the greatest highlight tape. It was Tavon Austin yesterday. Unless you completely disagree, one right answer for week three. Again, all of these are if we cannot pick Auburn, what is the one game that we are choosing to watch?
Nebraska, North Dakota.
That was,
I'm kidding.
That was actually – I actually had Utah State and Utah.
Battle for the Beehive.
Is that right?
That is one of them. Yeah, it's like a mini three-team rivalry with Utah, Utah State, and BYU. Obviously, you have the Holy War. They don't really
right.
play in it, but it's with you. It's I think it's the battle for the Beehive because Utah is a Beehive state. If you didn't know,
I did not know that.
Let me double check Utah
I mean,
State rivalry.
How dare I? I'm not going to question anything.
It's the battle of the brothers, and you get the Beehive boot.
Does it look like a beehive? Can you show me? Like, is there?
Hold on.
I have my computer right in front of me.
You
too,
do have your computer right in front of you, but I think the answer that you're looking for is Ole Miss LSU.
Yes,
that is going to be the good one.
Again, that's the only unfortunate thing is that Florida and Auburn are at 6 o'clock, and then you have LSU and Ole Miss at 6:30. So that's the only bad thing about that, but again, two coaching dramas, you could say, but one definitely outweighs the other just based off of Lane Kiffin with Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin with LSU. So that is definitely the answer for week three. Week four, it gets very difficult to have to pick a favorite because half of these games aren't even scheduled yet in terms of time because obviously week zero, week one, week two, and week three are going to determine a whole lot. But you have some of the big SEC games, South Carolina, Alabama. You have that's the Auburn-Vanderbilt game. Ole Miss goes to Florida. Oklahoma goes to Georgia. A&M goes to Baton Rouge. Missouri goes to Mississippi State. And so those stand out. You have Utah, Iowa State. You have what was the other one I was looking for? Iowa, Michigan. That wasn't necessarily. Oregon, USC. You have there it was, Tennessee and Texas. Texas goes to Neyland Stadium. That's an 11 a.m. kick. That feels wrong, even despite all of the games that I had mentioned before that.
I am going to
give me Oklahoma, Georgia.
Okay, that's a fine one. I am going to go Texas A&M LSU because I think that Marcel Reed and this Texas A&M team, they don't really have – like, I don't think Arizona State is going to be a contender this year. So this is, like, the first true test for them on the road in Death Valley and Tiger Stadium. Close your ears, Steve Witten, but because LSU is the real Death Valley. But I think that the I think that's going to be such a good matchup in the SEC.
Got a text in the personal text box, which you can always be a part of. Psych, just kidding.
You can be a part of the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1685.
You can do that, or you can be a part of the Trip hotline, which you call after 6 p.m. Central Time. Just kidding. But did get one in the personal text box that said, hot take, Oklahoma-Georgia will be the game of the year in the SEC.
I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, I think those are two elite defenses with two offenses that are underrated. It's going to be a good one.
I think that's a very, very good game. Is there – I mean, I would guess that would be – trying to see the little flex window. Because although it's not an official time yet, it is set as a flex. Yeah, so it can be anywhere from 3:30 to 8. So it could
It'll be a night game. There's no way they're going to play that at 3:30 without a CBS Game of the Week part, you know? So
unless that's Texas A&M, LSU, or Ole Miss, Florida, based off of what those again, so many games have to happen before that. So
yeah, we'll have to
definitely
see.
Definitely a good one.
Week 5. Looking at this one, Auburn will take on Tennessee. I think this is a big week. I mean, Arkansas A&M, Missouri, Florida, sure. This might be a week you look outside of the Southeastern Conference for some of these games. And
McNeese and LSU.
In-state rivalry.
The Battle of Will Wade.
The Battle of Will Wade, yes. For this one, I think my answer is going to be Miami-Clemson. I think that Clemson in the other Death Valley, I guess you could say, they host Miami. If they can get off to a big win against LSU, this could be game day. If not, Miami still has to go into a tough place to play. And Clemson, I think a loss basically gets you out of the college football playoff unless you win the ACC. So I'm going to go Miami-Clemson for that one. Sneaky one, Louisville-NC State. I'm really high on CJ Bailey and the Wolfpack. And I'm also high on Louisville, obviously, so that'll be a sneaky game as well out of the ACC.
To be determined for the time in a game in a Big 12, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. For you will realize, I think Jade Maiava is incredible. I am in love with what he does on the football field and the talent that he has, and now a couple of healthy running backs. And, again, you don't have Kai Lemon, but you have still some really good guys. But Damon Williams in Washington comes to town. I think that's a very good game.
Yeah, I think that's a good one out of the Big Ten. Another sneaky.
Did I say Big 12? I meant Big Ten.
Sneaky one. Cal at UNLV. JKS Jackson Arnold in Allegiant Stadium. That would be one. That's one that you're gonna get notifications about on your phone and be like, oh wow, that's a game happening right now. Let's watch a little bit of it at halftime. That'll be a good one. Week 6.
There's a right answer.
There's a right answer for this. Is it Georgia-Alabama?
Yeah.
I think that is the correct answer.
At least off the UCLA, Oregon, Maryland, Ohio State, yeah, no. USC, Penn State, no.
Yeah, I think that's the correct
Kansas,
answer.
Kansas, Utah, no.
Oh, Texas, Texas, Oklahoma. You can make an argument.
Oh, the Red River is there.
You know what? How about this? I'll go Texas, Oklahoma. You go Georgia, Alabama.
Sure.
Sure. And we covered both.
We'll shake hands and we'll move on from
there. We'll move on from there to week 7.
Gosh, we're only at week 7.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for college football.
I'm
kicking my feet right now.
All right. Alabama-Tennessee, third Saturday in October is going to be an underrated one. Sunflower Showdown, Kansas-Kansas State, Florida State-Miami will be a good one. But
Notre Dame goes to BYU.
There is an answer here.
I might not have made it.
Ohio State-Indiana.
Oh, I hadn't made it there yet.
Well, that's the answer. Is Oregon State, Washington State is a solid one as well, but I think it's Ohio State, Indiana.
Is that the Big Noon kickoff?
They have not announced a time for that yet.
Wow.
I know. It will be Big Noon kickoff, but, you know, a boy can dream.
Notre Dame, BYU, though, a solid one, as is Florida, Texas. Possibly.
Nebraska, Oregon, imagine like something happens and Dylan Raiola has to go into that game. That would be pretty insane. Week 8. The Auburn Tigers, I believe, are off that week, so this is going to be this is a real life exercise at that point. Texas Tech at Cincinnati, the Brendan Sorsby Bowl presented by DraftKings.
I think the answer is just yes for this week.
Auburn LSU is that week. It's the next week. We already passed the bye week.
Yeah, I was going to say it was before Georgia. So
yeah. Looking at this week, give me. I mean, Indiana-Michigan will be really good.
That is wild. Texas Tech at Cincinnati.
Ole Miss-Texas is a good one as well. Texas A&M-Alabama is a good one as well.
Indiana-Michigan with Bryce Underwood.
Liberty at Kennesaw State. Sneaky CUSA matchup. UTSA-Tulane. Sneaky American matchup. I'll go, you know what? I'll just go kind of basic. I'll go to Ole Miss-Texas. I think that's going to be a fun game.
A&M at Alabama is a really interesting game. That's probably going to be
it. All right, well, let's get into November or October, to Halloween weekend. Wow. Get into November a little bit. Looking at this slate right here, that'll be the weekend Auburn travels to Oxford to play Ole Miss.
And again, highlight, because we've done this a little bit, and it feels like we're just going through the calendar again, which I absolutely love doing. This is the one pro in terms of Auburn playing a lot of early slate games, a lot of 11 a.m. kicks. It's the fact of you have a lot of these games afterwards. You just hope that Auburn wins those games so that way you want to watch it, because we've asked that conversation. When we went through this the first time, once the schedule was officially announced, we had – that was one of the more fun days on the phone lines, because it was like the – yeah, if Auburn loses, like, I don't care about any of these other games. I will not watch anything else. And it's like, yeah, it's very, very understandable. But, again, 11 a.m. game on the road makes things a little bit easier to still sit and watch, because yeah, you just get to watch your team and then transition into the rest of college football, it feels like.
I'm going to go to the Big 12 for week nine. Give me Arizona State, Kenny Dillingham. It's a rebuild year a little bit, but I think that they can still have some pieces. They've got to go to Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Utah. Head out to Provo to play on a Kalani Sitake and Bear Bachmeier. I think that's going to be a sneaky, like, high-scoring game. If that's a night game, I think BYU is one of the most underrated environments in the country, to be point-blank with you.
Especially, yeah, Provo at night.
Provo at night, dude. Yeah. That'll be a must-watch
there's
game.
There's always an upset that occurs where BYU is a top 20 team or top 25 team, and they welcome in a top 10 team or a top 15 team.
It's over.
And it's one of those 49-35 type of games. Yeah, that could be it right there. You have Florida, Georgia this weekend in Mercedes-Benz. I think that takes away a little bit, yeah, of the overall shine that it's not in Gainesville or Jacksonville. Ohio State, USC, it's a really good one as well. One of those two, I think, is what stands out. Just because I say the SEC all the time, I'll go Ohio State, USC. Why not?
All right, there we go. Next weekend, Arkansas will travel to Auburn that weekend. Looking at some of these games, a Friday night game, Nebraska-Illinois jumps out to me. Holy War, BYU-Utah, yes, please. Louisville-Georgia Tech, sneaky one, but I'm not going to go Georgia Tech. Oregon-Ohio State. I think that's the correct answer there. In the Big House, or not in the Big House, in the Horseshoe, apologies. That's going to be a good one.
I like Alabama and LSU coming back to life as
ooh,
well.
Ooh, that's another really good one. That's a
really
good week.
Good one. LSU, a four-point favorite right now. Georgia also going to Oxford, a four-and-a-half-point favorite over Ole Miss as it sits right now.
Ohio State, a touchdown favorite over Oregon. That'll be a good weekend. Michigan State could be sneaky if Pat Fitzgerald gets it turned around there.
Texas State upsets Oregon State that week. Book it.
In an interconference matchup.
Book it. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Texas State upsets Oregon State for no reason other than...
just to laugh.
Because why not?
Because
a 9:30 game on ESPN. Says ESPN and the CW?
Yes, the Mountain West has a partnership with the CW now, if you didn't know.
Wow, so it plays with... okay, wow, good for them.
Good for them. Looking at the next week, when Auburn heads to Starkville, those be some good weeks on, but I am going to go with a Friday night game. Give me Florida State and Pittsburgh. I know that's. I want to go a little bit of an unconventional game here. I know that there are some big matchups like Michigan, Oregon, like USC, Indiana, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Tennessee, Texas A&M, you know, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. Yeah, there are good matchups across the SEC that week. LSU, Texas, another one. But I'm going to go a different conference. I'm going to go Florida State, Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh hosting Florida State. Florida State is a good team with Ashton Daniels. That's a trap game. I don't like Pittsburgh, but it's a tough place to play in Ashire Stadium.
USC, Indiana, again, a really good one.
Sneaky Texas Tech, Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Ole Miss, Oklahoma. Oh, so many good games. We got to get the break. We put it in manual, and we ran well past it because when you just get to actually look at college football, it's a month away. We are 1 month from the start of college football. If that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will here on this Wednesday afternoon. Maybe that will power me through my moving process.
Yeah, seriously. Every piece of furniture you put in your apartment, you're one step closer away from sitting there and watching college football on a Saturday.
I guess that's halfway of a decent way to look. I'm one step closer to being done is how I'm trying take it. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will make a segment talking about the win totals for the SEC and if we think any of them will change before the start of the college football season.
Yeah. halfway through hour number two. You're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
All right, well, 13 minutes past, 30 more minutes to go here on the Wednesday edition of On 20, the Line.
17 minutes left.
Math, baby. Woo!
Woo!
17 minutes to go, so actually 12 minutes and 50 seconds until the music kicks us out of here.
We were having fun.
We're having fun. That's what we're doing here on the radio. But we do want to have a little bit of time because it's something that we've talked about for quite some time, and this may legitimately be something that we start tomorrow's show with, just to actually spend a little bit more time than what we unfortunately don't have here today. But it's looking at the win totals for the SEC teams going into the football season and how these were written a month and a half ago, I would say. I believe June 10th was when this was written. And it's on three, looking at the overall win-loss totals. And so I wanted to dive through those kind of quickly and not spend too much time on them here this afternoon. But maybe some ones that stand out. And this all sparked because, again, if Auburn didn't have public lines, or if Vegas didn't have public lines on what Auburn's win total would be, which is 6.5, by the way, I feel like, based off what I've heard, 7.5, it would almost jump an entire game. If not, weirdly enough, I feel like it would sit right at 7 games flat. I know that's not how that works, but you feel like 7 is just the number that you hear so much. And so I guess if you hear that, then that would be the over for what they're currently sitting at. But looking at the top of the SEC, you have a couple teams projected with 9.5 wins. Two of those, and funny enough, those are the two overwhelming favorites to make their way to Atlanta to play in the SEC championship. The Georgia Bulldogs at 9.5 and Texas at 9.5. However, Georgia heavily favored in terms of the over, minus 190. Again, I don't want to dive too much into that side of things, but very much the favorite to win 10 games this season or more, while Texas a little bit more of the favorite to win under 9 games. So 9-3 is what a lot of people are predicting the Longhorns to look at, which is crazy. That in itself goes to show you the balance that sits in the SEC comparatively to what we talked about to get the show started today in the Big Ten of how, yeah, the top half may be better, but the bottom half is just atrocious. The fact that the SEC champion sits at 9.5 wins, or the projected SEC champion sits at 9.5 wins, goes to show you the week in, week out gauntlet that you have to face.
Yeah, I just looked. Indiana has 10.5 wins.
Yeah, I think aren't there three Big Ten teams?
I know that
wasn't Ohio, it Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon.
Ohio State's at 9.5.
Really?
Yeah. So I it was just a quick to look. Illinois, for those wondering, 7.5 wins. So, yeah, Georgia and Texas heavily favored in the over. Alabama, right behind them, tied with LSU and Texas A&M for 8.5.
And they have the reverse odds that Texas has. So Alabama has the same favorited odds to win 9 games as Texas does to only get 9 wins. So,
I mean, I could see that very being possible. But I also think that depending on Texas' schedule, I think the Ohio State game is such a pivot point for both those teams. I think Ohio State would be like 10.5 wins if they didn't play Texas.
If Texas beats Ohio State, I bet you that number to get to 10 drops in terms of the odds ridiculous amounts.
100%. LSU, 8.5. Ole Miss, 7.5. Oklahoma, 7.5 as well. Really heavily favoring the over for both of those teams. And I think that's a fair place to be. Tennessee, dead even odds at 7.5. Is that surprising to you at all with breaking in a new quarterback?
Their run game and their defense. Defense is expected to be good, I'll say that. I know that they are losing a piece for week 2 of their season. Thank you, NCAA, for taking priorities where they need to be.
I saw that. And $400.
Carter for a $425 flight. You're telling me kids are making $425? Man.
What he should have done, he should have taken that flight money and put and gambled it, and he would have been okay, depending on what local municipality you live in.
I mean,
that's what the NCAA wants.
Pretty easy right there. Don't get on a flight. You can make more than LeBron James is going to make. but don't get on a flight.
You can make $2 million for a high school freshman or a high school senior can make $2 million before even signing papers.
Or unofficially making money to maintain a commitment.
Well, you look at the running back right now at Tennessee. He's making $2 million. He's the number two running back in the class. There's the Georgia running back is above him. $2 million to go to the same program of Tennessee. Meanwhile, one of their linebackers can't get a flight paid for and is suspended for two games. That just doesn't make any sense.
There's nothing wrong with the sport that we love.
No. More
whatsoever.
Expansion, more meteorites. Yes.
Yes. Florida sits at 7.5 as well. They're heavily favored to go under. I saw a lot of people doing their game by game, and I saw 8 wins. I saw 9 wins for John Summerall and the Florida Gators. I just don't know if I see that.
I saw 9-3 today. It is going to be like an easy 9-3, and I just don't believe that. I mean, you look at the under as favored here. I think that's 7 is a fine season for Florida.
Missouri also at 6.5. They're favored to go over at that. Auburn obviously 6.5. Kind of even lines right now. Split at 6.5. South Carolina 6.5. Heavily favored to go under.
Correct.
That line. Vanderbilt at 5.5. Heavily favored to go over that line. Kentucky at 4.5. Heavily favored to go over. And I think I like that.
Yeah.
I think I like at least that number. Mississippi State's deadlocked at 4.5. And Arkansas, 4.5. The second most popular bet.
Is Arkansas
under 4.5 in terms of the lowest value. That is in comparison to Georgia going over 9.5.
Poor Arkansas. Poor Ryan Silverfield. At least his wife's smoking hot and his word's not mine. Just impressive.
Oh, man, they feel the pain. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And gosh, it is. It's so wild to think that we are 1 month from the start of college football season. Brings a tear to my eye.
Mm-hmm. And we're so close. We're so close. We're so back. We got high school
season. Which goes to show you that the high school season is even earlier than that. The 21st is when we get things underway.
What is it? I guess 3 Fridays from 2 days from now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I keep driving by the academy, looking at the changes. Very excited. Very, very excited. And then we are continuing to, again, we'll work some things out, not only, again, for the university or the college side of things, but also for our high school coverage as well with the Auburn High Sports Network and the Lee Scott Sports Network, continuing to work out some really, really cool things. Had our annual football meeting in on Monday, where we were able to dive into some more information, some more details on what this season is going to look like, some really cool things that are coming everybody's way here relatively shortly, but continuing to build the excitement for the start of the season here coming up very soon. It's not week one, your Thursday game, is it?
No, we're Friday.
Okay.
We're the same day.
That's right. But
you go back, you got Glenwood coming to your place.
Yes.
We have Hewitt Trustful and the Huskies coming to Sanford Stadium that same night. Our Thursday night game is to end the season with the regular season with Sarah
When's
Land.
When's the beach trip?
That's the next week.
The following
week.
Okay, I thought that was week one for some
reason.
Yeah,
that'll be heading to Chattahatchee High School in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And then I get to, I think that me or myself, Jack Hudden, and Carson Meyer will be able to watch the Saturday college football kickoff games in week zero on the way back. Think about that.
Happy to be at home. Well, I guess that would be that week, but
yeah, you go to Lochapoca. You're basically home.
We have Lochapoca. We make the
Poke Pride.
The 25-minute drive down the road. That'll be fun. I'm excited we're able to continue that because it's not quite a rivalry, but it feels like it's one because of how close you are. See what I said there? Like, how close you are, how cool it is to have, like, close games and close rivalries?
Yeah, 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 whatever, man. Just go to head up to Huntsville. That's where you belong anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically where we will be going. Oh, man. Tomorrow's show, going to be a whole lot of fun. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And who knows what falls in between, but we appreciate you all for being here with us and for being a part of the show here this afternoon. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.